Okay, our next speaker is Ms. Corian Tatariu. She's going to talk about the effect of long-term nitrogen deposition on soil microbial community composition.
Thank you. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about a different type of ecosystem, arguably a more interesting type of ecosystem, but that I'm biased towards forest soils. So to give a little background, atmospheric nitrogen deposition occurs when reactive nitrogen is released into the atmosphere through processes such as fossil fuel combustion and volatilization from agricultural systems. And this is significant because when it's deposited over large spatial areas. And the area I'm interested in particular is northeastern New England, specifically Maine. And although the Clean Air Act has reduced the amount of atmospheric nitrogen deposition in that area, it is still fairly high. And it's important to understand how this affects ecosystems that are otherwise relatively pristine, such as forest ecosystems. So we know that there are some pretty consistent effects of atmospheric nitrogen deposition on northeastern forests. And the first thing is that as atmospheric nitrogen deposition increases, the forest floor carbon to nitrogen ratio decreases, which means forest floors effectively become more enriched with nitrogen. In addition to this, as nitrogen deposition increases, ecosystem or watershed nitrogen retention decreases. And so this means that not only have these systems become enriched, they're also enriched in an abundance of nitrogen which can be exported to more sensitive aquatic environments. And so while there are many effects on the organisms that live in these ecosystems, I'm specifically interested in the effect on microbial communities. And the reason I'm interested in this is because microbes control ecosystem processes. And so as this conceptual model shows, within a given set of ecosystem conditions, you have a structured microbial biomass as well as a microbial community composition. And these two things regulate ecosystem processes in different ways. The microbial biomass effectively represents a functional capacity within that system. So the more microbes there are, the more a function can be carried out. On the other hand, the community composition regulates the functional capability. And so the presence of key functional groups can effectively dictate whether or not that function can occur. And these things together affect ecosystem process rates. We know that in ecosystems, in forest soils specifically, affected by atmospheric nitrogen deposition, the microbial response is largely dictated by the nitrogen load and the duration of that nitrogen load. And so at relatively low loads or shorter time periods of nitrogen deposition, the increase in nitrogen actually improves litter quality and increases above ground net primary productivity, which increases available carbon and nitrogen in the system, resulting in an increase in microbial biomass. However, as the system is subjected to more and more of this chronic disturbance, the associated acidification, as well as a decrease in below ground net primary productivity caused by a reduction in fine root biomass, results in lower availability of important nutrients such as carbon, magnesium, and calcium, as well as an increase of mobile aluminum. And this effectively targets the fungal biomass. And so bacteria are able to compete preferentially in these higher nitrogen environments. And so we see a decrease in fungal biomass relative to bacterial biomass. And then finally, at very high nitrogen loads, they're very disturbed systems, nitrogen results in toxicity and direct inhibition, which causes a decrease in overall microbial biomass. So given this information, our objective was to determine the impact of 25 years of atmospheric nitrogen deposition on microbial biomass and community composition. Fortunately, I happen to have access to a watershed that has been subjected to experimental nitrogen deposition for the last 25 years. So the Bear Brook watershed in Maine is located in eastern Maine, And it consists of two watersheds, a reference watershed, East Bear Brook, which we'll refer to as the reference and will be shown in blue, and a treated watershed, West Bear Brook, which has been treated with ammonium sulfate by helicopter every other month since 1989. In August 2012, we collected 40 samples from this watershed. And one thing I forgot to mention is that the lower elevations of the watershed are dominated by deciduous hardwood forests, where the upper elevations are dominated by coniferous softwoods. And so we collected soils from each of these four compartments, and we also collected these soils along the whole soil horizon, and we grouped them into the organic horizon, so that top layer of processed organic material, and then to 10 centimeters depth in the B horizon, and this will be referred to as the mineral horizon. We excluded the alluvial horizon, or E horizon, because it is mostly biologically inert. We determined microbial community composition and total biomass using phospholipid fatty acid analysis and fatty acid methyl esters. And we also had took multiple soil physical and chemical measurements, including total carbon and nitrogen, exchangeable ammonium and nitrate, gravimetric moisture, organic content determined by loss of ignition, and extractable phosphate. And so for some of these values, you'll see there's an asterisk, and that is because we only have an N of 22 for those samples. We hypothesized that the Bear Brook watershed is still in the middle of the nitrogen deposition spectrum, which I showed earlier. And so we expected that variation in microbial biomass would be driven by inherent ecosystem characteristics rather than nitrogen deposition. However, we did expect to see a decrease in the fungal to bacterial ratio in response to deposition. And finally, this is more of a prediction than a hypothesis, we expected that there would be a variation in overall community composition as a result of increased nitrogen in the treated watershed. So the first graph I'd like to show is microbial biomass. So it's the y-axis, and you see it's divided by organic and mineral soils. And what you can see here is that it's significantly lower in mineral soils, but there is not a significant effect of nitrogen deposition, supporting our first hypothesis. The fungal to bacterial ratio, however, shows different responses in the organic versus the mineral horizon, with a significant decrease in the fungal to bacterial ratio in the nitrogen-enriched watershed compared to the mineral horizons, where there is no significant effect. So this suggests that essentially nitrogen deposition is affecting the higher watershed, the higher horizon, which is intercepting the nitrogen treatment, and it has not yet affected the mineral horizon, which is lower in the soil profile. I used a redundancy analysis to determine differences in community composition. Each one of these points represents a microbial community. The closer the points are together, the more similar they are. And what you can see here is that there is a pretty big difference between organic communities and mineral communities. And while the different shapes indicate different watersheds and vegetation types, I want to just highlight the fact that this is a lot of the variation, nearly 65% of the variation is caused by differences in soil horizon. When we add explanatory vectors to the RDA, basically the distance of a point along a given vector is an indicator of that point's relationship with that variable. And so the farther it is along the vector, the higher that value is for that point. We see that soil horizon moving towards the organic horizon is a major driver, and it's consistent with the pattern that we see in the community composition. And most of the variables that we see going in the same direction as soil horizon are things that vary between soil horizon. So in order to better understand what was going on, I did an RDA again, but I did it just within the organic horizon. And at this point, we start to see an interesting response. So the first thing I would like to point out is that there is a treatment effect, or a pattern of treatment effect, where there's some general clustering between the yellow points, which are the community composition in the treated watershed, and the blue points, which are the community composition in the reference watershed. And what we see is that these treatment points are farther along the vectors for ammonium, nitrate as well as watershed treatment. And so this indicates that the communities in the organic horizon are beginning to differentiate as a result of nitrogen deposition. The other pattern I'd like to point out is the difference between the circles and the triangles. And again, it's rough clustering, but you can see that the circles, which are softwoods, and the triangles that are hardwoods are separating, and they tend to separate along this vegetation type vector, as well as loss on ignition, carbon, and phosphate, which are variables that are often driven by tree cover. And so we start to see some differences in the microbial community that are structured by vegetation type. And so this is interesting because basically we have this kind of natural community structuring caused by inherent ecosystem conditions, but within that we are starting to see a response to a long-term chronic disturbance. And so in conclusion, a long-term nitrogen deposition at the Bear Brook watershed in Maine has affected microbial community composition, and it may show signs of affecting microbial biomass. However, that is not a significant result. We also see that the soil horizon strongly structures microbial communities, and by extension, it essentially has decoupled the response to nitrogen deposition. And so with that, oh, and the last thing, that's what I forgot. I'm also doing work to better understand how this affects ecosystem function. And so I'd like to acknowledge my funding sources and collaborators and assistants throughout this project, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Okay, we have time for questions.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how you accounted for microbial variability within that large area of
control from. That's a really good question. So, So it's really hard to do that. And so our option is to have basically 40 samples at the ecosystem scale and assume that there's going to be enough repetition in the heterogeneity within that ecosystem that we're sampling at the heterogeneity of the microbial community. Or we could basically take a bunch of very small samples. But when we did sample, we actually collected three cores, which were then brought back to the lab, homogenized, and sieved. And so hopefully what we captured represents a broader spatial extent than a single core. But that's a problem with microbial ecology. You always have that trade-off.
One more question? Okay. Thank you.